I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, welcome. It's good to have you. Good to have you here. I'm glad I'm here. Just walked in, so it was a little late on the take here. Just want to praise and thank God, as always, for each one of you. Let me get my sidekick in here. What's going on? Hello? Hello? Hi. Are you there, Father? Now I can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I just welcome everybody aboard. And when I wanted to go in to get you, here you were on two and I was hitting one. So I'm blessed that you're able to be we're able to be together today. And I'm sure you have the scriptures open. How have you been, Father?
Well, I've been just fine and dandy.
That's good.
And let me tell you, we went from March weather going into Memorial Weekend, and now we're at like 90.
Yeah, hard to believe.
It's hard to believe, just in 2 weeks, it's amazing.
And it's supposed to, it looks like it's going to remain pretty much that way for a while.
For a while, yeah. Hey, listen, not complaining. But
hey.
It's just a matter of...
Me either, me either. I'm a sunshine girl. A priest didn't call me sunshine for nothing. I would have never remembered that if that wasn't for you telling me one time. That's why you wink, because he winked all the time. You're probably 100% right. And I never realized how much I do wink till after you said that and everybody said, well, I guess I do. Guilty as charged.
I have the gospel. Okay. The gospel of the...
Let's have at it.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to you.
This is John 17, verses 20 through 26. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I and them, you and me. They may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you loved them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I've made known to them your name, and I will make it known that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, let's unpack this a little bit, and what would you like to begin with? Well, it's a great gospel.
It's an awesome gospel, this one. Again, to give a little bit of a background, so a lot of people, when they hear the tongue-twisting, mystical levels of John, you kind of get wrapped up in a twist and say, what is he talking about? And just so we understand, John is not part of the synoptic gospel. Synoptic meaning there's a synthesis, there's a similarity among the three of them. John's was written decades after the ascension, and his level of spirituality was truly mystical, and he presents his depth of knowledge of Christ and the love of Christ so differently. But you can interpret it well when you really break it open, and that's what we do here. John breaks open three discourses that Jesus had in the course of his mission on earth. One of them we went through recently, known as the Bread of Life discourses. And these were these prayers that Jesus said right before his passion. This is coming to the close of that final discourse. So if you look at it this way, he has already broke bread, he has already instituted the Eucharist, and then he says, let's go out and pray. He says to his friends, watch and pray with me. And this is the time, more or less, what we're seeing and entering into is in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is really the culmination of what's happening here, where it's that he's finished the meal and now it's time to pray. And the last few days of these series of Gospels leading up to this, Jesus is praying certain petitions. And his petitions is always directed to his Father, constantly reminding himself and his Father that this was a mission that you sent me to do. But I ask you, Father, for this. Perfect example, yesterday, he said that none would be lost. Hmm. You know, Father, you gave them to me. They're your gift to me. So beautifully put again today. They're your gift, beautiful gift. And you're asking me to put myself up on the cross for them so that they will experience my love and not be lost to perdition, to eternal damnation. That's one of the examples. So it becomes more and more intimate, more and more detailed, and very tender and deep. It really becomes, Jesus expresses for us here, Kathleen, how he prays. In this the tenderness of his heart, it's heart to heart with God, real heart to heart. And today, his prayer goes just that further beyond. So he begins to expand the horizon, if you will. says, I'm not only praying for these, but those who will come to believe, not by seeing me personally, because I got to soon go to heaven, but by my word. I want to stick with that just for that moment. He now expands the horizon to say, your will is that nobody will be lost. So for the rest of time, that people will know me, especially in the living word that will never die, gospel, the scripture that we all read. And then he says, goes down and talks about unity. You and me and I and you, and it kind of goes back and forth. And basically what emerges is Jesus's concern, and I'm going to say a great concern, for a unity that must exist among people. Jesus is realizing he's going into, he was born into the world of in the Holy Land, where his own people were governed by the Hebrew Pharisees as well as the Romans, and all of their economy was operated by the Greeks. And yet they fought with one another, and there was no unity there. Just use that as the example. Jesus starts going deeper about unity. What is this unity? It's not like a DEI. It's not about diversity in that sense. But it's certainly not uniformity. And Jesus begins to see the phrase I used there, Kathleen, how he expands his horizon. He's seeing into the future of the world. And he's seeing that even his own Catholic Church, to which he has instituted on this very night, will be torn right from its core. That someday there will be a schism, which we see the East and the West that took place 1,000 years later, and then another schism that causes the Protestant Reformation. They all talk about Jesus. They all speak about Christianity, but are they united with Rome? And he's beginning to see this moving out further. Keeps emphasizing unity, and that emphasis is so important, because we are living in a world right now where a lot of that still carries on today. Again, unity is not uniformity. How do we live with one another? How does a man live with a woman, a husband and a wife, radically different despite by makeup, yet what is the common denominator that's holding their love together? That's a perfect example. That you can't be the other person, can't make the other person do things that you don't want to do, but yet what's keeping you together? And he sees that the devil is strong in creating division. He understands that his tactics can really, really be divisive to a destructive force. And here he's saying, Father, one of my last petitions to you is that in this mission that you're giving me on the cross, and he gives a whole list of petitions, please don't let this one go in vain. Allow the power, allow the triumph, act of my sacrifice be given, that all may be one in you, in God, in love, in mercy, in a whole common understanding of a faith and a doctrine that doesn't make us all kind of like kind of robotic, if you will. Or I'm trying to get the right word for it. And it's so deep within him. And I pondered this, and before I hand it over to you, one of the opportunities I've had in praying John is to go deeper to know that John is not just talking about the human Jesus. So if Jesus himself is speaking so tenderly, so deeply about the importance of unity in its differences, the more I've been praying in the course of time, the more I've realized that he's speaking to his Father in the Spirit, three persons in the one God. There's a unity right there. And all three have three radically different functions that come together for the same common good, the same love passing through one another. And then it makes Jesus' petition all the more important, that he in his own being knows that this is the only way to operate in the sense of unity. And he pours out with far deeper, far more passionate plea of the sense of unity. Mm-hmm. And it really, that sense of that Trinitarian prayer really becomes the foundation, the heart of what we're speaking about today. As we're seeing in the world, we're seeing in our own families, we're seeing in our own marriages, in the church, and in almost every institute right now, more and more divisive means that are not creating a sense of unity and strength, but creating factions or pieces that actually weaken the force of love, and the power of love. So that's kind of how I'm opening this up, because I believe very, very firmly that the sense of unity is most important.
Yeah.
We've seen in the recent election of our new Holy Father, Leo the 14th, and you keep hearing, is he going to unify the church? Well, he doesn't do anything unless he's guided.
Exactly.
And people in their comments keep talking about he's the bridge maker. Well, hello. That's what the word pontiff means. Pope is Papa, Father, hence Holy Pope, Holy Father. Pontiff is ponte, bridge. So for centuries, the central unifying figure of the church since its inception through Peter himself, is that the Pope becomes the bridge, de facto. Pontiff. So how that happens is important. And we're in a very, very timely moment right now. This prayer does affect all of us.
Well, that's for sure. You know, when you were, sharing, just giving all the background on the gospel, you could sort of enter into the prayer of Jesus' heart. He revealed so much about himself as well, praying to the Father. And I think for us, that perfect love, that mercy, that beautiful, unconditional love is what we can attain at some point more perfectly into Jesus' love through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think as I was listening to you, you were sharing about how much you can feel the whole Trinitarian mystery there as he addresses the Father, but yet speaks also about how he has come to redeem. He has come by Father sent him to redeem each and every one of us. But also when he talks about the Spirit, I mean, we just, had the beautiful feast of the Ascension, Jesus going back to the Father and leaving his Spirit, which is the love, The Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son, and it's only through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that can draw us into that unity with the Father, worshiping the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. On our own, it's impossible. You know, so many people give up on prayer so often because they just feel they can't attain that unity, even in their own families, in their workplace, in their homes, even in parishes. And I always go back to that. The only way we can attain unity is the beautiful gift that Jesus left us and tells us to safeguard is the power of the Holy Spirit, who will remind us of everything, not some of the things, but will remind us of everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said. And he reminds us again and talk about this whole sense of the Trinity. Didn't Jesus say in another gospel that he hears what the Father is saying? He sees what the Father is doing, and he does likewise. And that's why the Spirit was left with us, because we can't attain it on our own. We can't keep unity, no matter how much we try. Look at the situation in our world today, in our country, our own country, but in the whole world. Wars around us, all over. People in our own country, just totally division, totally divided. No wonder there are so many wars going on. No wonder there are so many, you know, churches that, really sad to say, but have had to merge several parishes together because the people have wandered away, because they're not in union with the church. They're not in union with the church teaches. But if we would all go back to our roots, and I think it's what I see, you know, I'm watching, but I think that's what I see in Pope Leo the 14th, being you brought him up. I mean, he's a great philosopher, but I really see him hitting themes and talking about healing the wounds in the church. I mean, he openly says it, and to bring that unity. And again, that's a desire of Jesus' heart. That's a desire of the Father's heart. And he told us it was so important that unless we wait for the Spirit, unless we invite the Spirit and release him within us, give him permission to do with us as he will bring about unity. He will bring about unconditional love. And that's the only way we can love, you know, the people that think different than us, people that act different than us, people that we think are lost, unbelievers. The only way we can really love them is in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think if we would call on the power of the Holy Spirit in all those situations in our country, in our world, I think we would find that peace that we're all searching for. And the same thing happens in a marriage. You know, we're responsible for getting each other to heaven, whether we like it or not. That we will be, the two shall become so one, you know, cleave to each other, forsaking all others, because it is in the marriage sacrament that we receive the Spirit of God to live out our vows. It's the same with the priest and the priesthood. If he isn't open to the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how does he stay day after day, year after year, in love with his God, in love with the people God has given him to shepherd, unless the Spirit of God wells up within him, guides him, leads him, sanctifies him from the inside out? And just as a just as a parent or a mother or father, their role is to get their children to heaven. Their role is to get the other, always the other. And we're a nation and so many in our own concupiscence, what's best for us. And I think it is only when we center on the power of the Holy Spirit that we can see then it is more important, more about those that we're responsible for, more about them reaching their eternal destiny, eternal life. And when we love like that, you know, the love of Jesus in us, I think then we begin to take our eyes off ourselves, off of what we need. Of, you know, you're not giving me what I need. You know, how many times do you hear that side of saying divorce situations today? Well, he wasn't giving me what I need, or she wasn't giving me what I need. I've grown apart. I've done this. I've done. That's what happens when we don't have the Holy Spirit acting in us and through us for God's good pleasure and for our sanctity. And I do believe that's what the world, truly, I think that's what the world has made its biggest mistake in. They forget about the power of the Holy Spirit for the most part. It's more of a symbol and forgetting, you know, that we're temples of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. He lives within us. He sanctifies us from the inside out. And without that, we'll never have unity. Without that, we won't. Our marriages will fall and falter along the way, if not break. The Holy Spirit is the, you know, it's Him in us that helps us to love as Jesus loved, helps us to remember that we're God's first, we're His children above all else. And He has given us the Spirit that we might not only praise Him and worship Him as the Son did in this reading of the Gospel, but that through the power of the Holy Spirit, once He went back to the Father, we can grow in unity. We can love, grow to love unconditionally. We can be merciful and kind and loving and forgiving. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just too self-centered. We are a people that wants the best thing for us. And that's a truth, and it's a hard truth to accept. But that's why God left us the Holy Spirit. He knew we'll never make it on our own. Go ahead, Father.
The great Pope St. John Paul II, he wrote a, I don't know if it was an encyclical, but I know it was one of his great teachings, which was actually on May They All Be One. And I'm going to summarize this one last minute with what you just said. In his own words, Pope said, to really believe in Jesus Christ means to desire unity. Mm. And to desire unity means to desire the church. And to desire the church means to desire the communion of grace from the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. which corresponds to the Father from the Father's plan for all eternity. And there's the flow that's being broken, you mentioned, because yes. Everybody is thinking of themselves, not doing the right. Once you connect it to that desire to be with Christ, that desire for unity, all the other things is coming out of your comfort zone, stepping into grace, and giving that to the other person.
Yeah.
And that's what he sums up.
Yeah.
May
they all be one. Well, we're going to take a little break, my friends. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, praise God. You know, Father, I'm just going to read a little, just a little piece of this, because I think it summarizes everything that we've talked about thus far, the background that you opened up with, your words, me bringing in the power of the Holy Spirit is the only way. He's the author of all unity, and we forget that sometimes. And this is the message. I'm not going to read the whole message because it is rather long, but this was the message Our Lady left to Ivan, and I think this is needs to be said, and it really summarizes everything we're talking about here. So I'm just going to take this one. Let's see. Beloved, many hearts are burdened with sorrow. Now, this was on the 20. This was Our Lady's message to Ivan, Yvonne. Many hearts are burdened with sorrow. Many, my children, are walking through this life without the light of hope. They turn to noise, to temporary things, to the illusion of safety. But I ask you today, return to prayer. Return to silence. Return to the living presence of my Son. This is a time of great spiritual war. Darkness is no longer hiding. It walks openly in cities, in families, and even in hearts that once glowed with the faith. But do not fear. Heaven has not abandoned you. The angels are with you, and I, your mother, am walking beside you every step. Every Hail Mary you whisper is like a sword of light in the unseen battle. You do not pray alone, my child. I see how tired you are. I see the weight on your shoulders. I know how hard it is to trust when the world gives you reason to doubt. But remember this, no tear, and this is something we talked about, something you really hit on too, Father, how the Father knows all our needs. No tear you shed is wasted. My Son gathers each one like pearls. They become offerings of healing to souls that are far from God. I especially ask that you pray for priests and for families. The enemy wishes to divide the sacred, but through prayer you can become a bridge of healing over your daily struggles for those who do not yet know the love of the Father. Your pain can become redemption when united with the cross. Time is short, my beloved. This is not to scare you, but to awaken you. Prepare your heart with frequent, this is something I say constantly, prepare your heart with frequent confession, with daily prayer, and with love. Speak less, love more, judge less, pray more. The world will not change through argument, but through grace. And there's a spirit. Grace is comes to us through the Spirit of God. So I just wanted to read part of that, Father. So go ahead.
And there was a line there that said, through sincere prayer, you can become the bridge to healing.
Yes.
Again, there's that bridge, yep. That pontiff, that yep. That connection for other people. I was mentioning in the very beginning the unity is not so much uniformity. Maybe it's better understood. No, it's not uniformity, but it creates harmony.
Yeah.
It's harmonious. And maybe that should be the emphasis that I think the Spirit is, because what's brought there is exactly what the Spirit of the living God is trying to bring. Harmony to the gifts that God has given us as creation. Mm. And we block it. It's terrible the way we block
yes.
it. Like we blow it every time, like right out the window.
Oh, we say he's looking down, he's just shaking his head.
Yeah, really. Like you think about it.
Yeah.
However, it is important to go to. I'm going to reconnect what you and I talked about before, the prayer of Jesus.
Yes.
What is he actually thinking? He expresses. What's really in his heart, he expresses. And we could easily get caught up with all these other things that are not helping the situation, doesn't foster right. harmony, that doesn't at all provide healing, but rather keeps festering. We have experienced that more so in the last few years. We have a whole world of AI. We have people that have become isolated rather than engaged with one another, seeing the strain on relationships and marriages and families. And there's where those wounds begin to really break open. And I have to bring in our new Holy Father, who was not afraid to say to the world, this AI thing, this social media thing, those gadgets in your hands, is killing your spirit. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But that's what he's saying. You are killing yourselves. Your spirits are low because you're investing time not in Christ, but in all these gadgets that cannot get you to heaven.
Right.
And as a result, it's not life-giving. It's spirit-killing. And we can all, we've all fallen short to it, but I think all of us realize the dangerous part about what he's talking about, and the realistic side is, very truly, it does isolate, and God did not create man to be alone. Mm. So these gadgets and this world where you get stuck into this AI kind of, or as he calls it, the media world, it can be very isolating, which draws you away from Christ, which draws you away from the truth, which breaks you away from the harmony, from the unity, from being part of the body.
Right.
If you cannot, and now I'm going to go back to summarize what you were saying before, even before the break. If you cannot, if you are broken in that sense, one cannot fully use the gifts that they've been given to by the Holy Spirit to build the kingdom of God and to help one another. Because they're a broken functionary piece outside of the body. When Christ puts us into the body of Christ for some purpose, we're not using it. We're isolated, and we're not helping in the unifying functioning of how the body of Christ works.
Yeah, you know
no matter how you look. No matter, sorry, I'm just going to close it here. No matter how you look at it, it still operates back to the church and Christ, the body of Christ, and the ebb and the flow of the breath of God's Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is going to continue to blow, and if you're not going to be responding to it, your peace is going to be kind of withering.
Absolutely. That's just what I was going to say. Absolutely. And I think for all of us, you know, I'll speak for myself, but I think what helps us is the whole essence of this prayer. You started out with it when you were reading the gospel, and he says to the Father, you know, they are the gift that you have given me. And I think when we realize and really ponder that thought, that we're a gift. He's telling us we're gifts. Gifts given to Jesus so that he doesn't come home without us. Gifts. And, you know, and one of the other gospels, same gospel story, he talks about, I think it's Matthew, I'm not sure, but he talks about being consecrated to the truth. And that's what we have to be. And there's only one truth. His name is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we will only grow in unity through the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if we think we don't need that, and we think we can do it by mustering it up, that's the devil's lie to Christians. The truth is, that's why Jesus said, wait, do not leave Jerusalem until the promise of the Father. The Father has sent the Spirit to us because we are a gift, and he doesn't want anyone lost. And to think that we could be God's gift, and as a parent, as a mother, I can tell you, I held that baby from the instant they were born in my arms. And over and over again, I remember saying, Lord, what a gift. What a gift. All the children I've had, each one is a miraculous gift in my life. Each one is unique, different, and yet that same spirit of God within every one of them. That's why I always would pull down their little t-shirt or little wrap and I'd kiss their chest because Jesus, they just left Jesus and he was in them. And so for all of us, just as parents, every father looks at his little son or his little daughter and realize what a gift. If we realized ourselves that we are a gift, that the Father has said we are his gift to Jesus, then we would live very differently, and we would be open to seek always God's divine will by depending on the grace of the power of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. Go ahead, Father. We have about 15 minutes.
That gift, the recognition that we are a gift, when we recognize that, we realize that we're not locking ourselves inside. But in order to become a gift, we pour ourselves out.
Amen.
Again, it's everything we've been talking about.
Yep.
But then it doesn't, when we pour ourselves out, it's no longer the kind of social work or just a duty or just an obligation. Or you're doing a good deed. No. You realize I was put on this earth and I didn't have to be put on this earth. But simply out of love and delight, God has put me on this earth to share that delight with someone else.
Yes.
And then you begin to realize, okay, so what is in me, my resources, my gifts, my own talents, it's not just a kind deed, but it's an act of love to someone else, to share, to say, this is what God has given me. I pour it out for you. And when that marriage of thought starts coming together, that's when gifts are recognized on both parties. You know, it becomes a surprise, it becomes an attraction, it becomes something recognizable as more and more holy. You know, that itself, it's like when your life is a gift, the lives of others become gifts for you too.
So exactly.
You just talk about all your children, and you realize that they were just simply given out of love, and now you recognize, I've had this opportunity to be the mother to these children. They become a gift to you. Everything
Absolutely.
About them, you delight in.
Yep.
And you want the best for, and then you start pouring yourself out, your gifts out, and one feeds off the other,
yep.
builds on one another, learns from one another, and in itself, unified in the Holy Spirit, the power and the breath of the Holy Spirit, de facto you are building up the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
Right there.
Yep. Exactly.
I'm going to hold on just for that moment. You talk about the children and the family. And what if they're not all Catholic?
Are you asking me?
Still,
okay.
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So what if they're not all Catholic? Can you still see them? And this is for all of our listeners. Can we still see them in the light of a delight in God's eyes given to the earth, that you are now entrusted to this delightful grandchild, this delightful human being? Can they gain from you? Absolutely, by your outpouring. What can you gain from them? Because now that God has put them before you, they are a gift to you.
True.
And this is where I call harmony. Two differences, not uniformed, but the flow brings back to a harmony that binds two people together. Or two scenarios, it really becomes magnificent. And even on the level now of the church, of each charism that is there, and people speaking about, you know, the Tridentine Mass, the Latin rites, and all of those, can they all be put and appreciated, and see each of them seen as a gift, learning from one another, pouring out grace from one another, and thus in that marriage of the two through the Holy Spirit, build up the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
It is now, fascinating.
And that's why John's gospel is not cut and dry. It actually goes deep into the heart. Where you really have to mull over, ponder, reflect, and then it creates a life all its own. It just keeps bubbling over.
You know, I remember when Shannon was had the brain tumor. Now, you know, I've had one too. She had two. And I remember my friend Joan Craig, I was praying with her for a situation with her. And she said, you know, I have to ask you, with Shannon going under surgery tomorrow, how are you? And I remember, and this is why I said, I think truly a special gift of God granted me, realizing as a mother, I could absolutely say unequivocally, without any inner doubt whatsoever, I wanted the best for Shannon. And I remember raising my arm up to heaven when she said, how are you? I raised my hand up to heaven. I said, in him I trust. But I knew with all my heart and soul, I had no doubt that I wish I could be in her place. I would rather me have it than watch my child suffer, to watch my child, going through a brain surgery and the recovery and all of that, and even if she was going to recover. And I really wanted the best for her, not for me, 100% for her. And if I can feel like that from a mother, then through the power and gift and grace of the Holy Spirit, I can begin to want that for my mate, the best for him, or from a husband, for the best for her. No longer thinking of yourself, but you'd rather suffer in their place. And when we yield to the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and I believe this wholeheartedly, it's only then that we can love as he loves. It's only then that we can love and forgive as he forgives. Because we're not looking out for, well, if I tell him I'm sorry, that means I'm wrong or whatever. The Holy Spirit and the work of grace in us that he brings forth enables us to love the other one and to want the best for them without even worrying about what benefit will it bring me. Don't you agree?
Totally. And as you were speaking about Shannon and what you would do, you would actually exchange that suffering on your own side. It becomes the most liberating moment of a person's life because it becomes a game changer.
Exactly.
You're not afraid. You're not afraid to make that exchange. Let me be the conduit. Let them have a better life. And that can all, first of all, it's very, very liberating.
Very.
It changes everything. And you will never be the same once you make a decision like that.
Yeah.
But that decision is not done lightly, nor is it done when you are haphazard in your relationship with God. One must really be rooted in Christ and believe and have a faith to say a decision such as that, and I'm using your particular example, is only through the Holy Spirit's enlightenment because of one's belief in Christ.
Absolutely. And
you don't just do that. It's fed into you. Nourished within you, it molds you to do, it compels you to do so.
Yeah. It's amazing, the gift of grace. And as you've heard me say a million times through all these years, you know, we all say, well, I'm asking for grace, but are you stepping into it? It doesn't come like a salt shaker, like you want grace and he pours grace on you. Grace comes, grace is always available. Sanctifying grace, of course, but when we pray for grace and we ask for grace, it's there, but we have to do our part. He gives it to us. We have to step into it and activate that grace in our own lives from within us to yield to God's holy will. And the only way we can do that is through the grace of the Spirit, who seeks all to be one with him in unity, with the Father, the Son, and through the Holy Spirit. And we complicate things. God doesn't complicate things. He's simplistic. He just wants us to love and love one another as he has loved us. And we can't do that on our own. Not the best intentions.
That's correct. And one of the reasons why it becomes so complex for people is several reasons. There's a risk involved, a risk that might have an uncertainty, and definitely some kind of a suffering or pain. So it's either all three you can't deal with, or you have to, or one of those, or one of those components that becomes that obstacle that complicates something that's already been there. Those three things, the risk, the uncertainty, the suffering, Christ has already done for us.
Mm.
And like once again, it comes right back to that sense of believing in Christ and the Spirit, where it becomes a freeing decision.
Mm.
It's great.
It is.
Not everyone can do it, but it is provided for and open for everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like a baby learning to walk. If he doesn't fall down and get up again, he'll never walk. It's in the process of doing what we have the ability to do, but continuing to stay the course, continue to walk forward and stop letting the things of the world distract us, where we are going to be afraid to walk forward because it's so much going on in the world. We have to trust Jesus and know that he will guide us and lead us into the kingdom if we are open to living his word out. And that's what it means to preach the gospel. As St. Francis says, if necessary, use words. I just got a little note here that says people are asking where they can get that quote of Our Lady you just read. Well, I only read a little part of it. And it was the message from Yvonne from Medjugorje, one of the visionaries. And it was lengthy. But if you want to call here, I'll give it to Maureen. And maybe she can... is there a website for all the Medjugorje messages, Father?
Yeah, there's a Medjugorje.org has all the monthly messages.
Okay.
Now, something for that one, I am not sure.
Yeah.
Because Ivan normally doesn't.
Yeah, I was surprised. That's why I thought I should read it.
Yeah, we have to look into that a little bit more. But the official one that's ecclesiastical approved by Holy Mother Church is Medjugorje.org.
Right.
And you'll see all the monthly messages actually right from, you can do a concordance right up, right down to 1981.
Right.
The present time.
Yeah. So it's Medjugorje.org.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then I'm going to ask you to stay the phone calls then, because if you go on, you can get that done. And rather than having a million people asking for it, if you go there, you can watch it. And if it hasn't been, for one reason or another, it hasn't been, approved yet, that will come in the future and you'll be able to read it. But, supposedly this... Yeah, I was very surprised that it was from Yvonne, but at any rate, that's why I just quoted a little part of it rather than read the whole thing, because it certainly had a lot to do with what we were talking about today.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's not 4:59 already.
It is. Oh, I was going to say, you know what we need you to do.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may the blessings of the Almighty and merciful God breathe down upon each and every one of you in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Love you.
Bless
Talk
you.
To you later.
Love you too. All right. Take care now. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, my brothers and sisters, I just want to say to you that... Dr. Raimondo is not doing a program today live, but there is an encore, and so you won't be able to call in. Anyway, have a blessed day. I love you. I mean it. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit move in and through you, my brothers and sisters. That is the TNT we need. That is the dynamite that the world needs, is the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.